Palmetto Mornings on WRHI.
Good Tuesday morning. Glad to have you with us on this edition of Palmetto Mornings. It's 75 degrees out there, 10 minutes after 8 o'clock on WRHI FM 100.1, your home for news, talk, and sports. I'm Patty Mercer.
And I'm Lucas McFadden. Hello to our listeners on AM 1340, those listening on the free WRHI app, watching us on Corporium Cable Channel 103, as well as Facebook Live.
Mm-hmm. You know, Lucas, when it comes to air quality, we think about this very closely. I know that I was reading an article just yesterday that there are actually fewer premature babies. And one of the reasons they gave that mothers are first sleeping more and that they are not exposed to toxic air, you know, outside their homes, I suppose. But it really brings to mind the importance of air quality as it relates to COVID-19. So who better than to come in studio? And we have the honor of getting to know a little bit better, but Ron Auville.
Right.
Okay. Got there it. And you have a very unique perspective on the things that we're hearing every day in the news, such as air quality. Tell us about your background, Ron.
Well, real quickly, I've been in the HVAC industry for 43 years. I've taught HVAC for about 40 years. I'm now teaching it online part-time for the last 6 years. Most of my career is actually online. And I've written a textbook. A number of years ago, I was approached by an organization to write a textbook on indoor air quality solutions.
That's a big book.
Actually, I've written about 5,000 pages. This is only a small part of that. So
who knew? I had no idea there was so much to learn.
Yeah,
there's a lot to learn in this particular topic. I've written a number of other textbooks related to the industry. So that's part of my background with this.
Yes. And in terms of the book that you have right there, you have your book and you also have what we would call either a big phone or a selfie.
This is iPhone 10.
It's very big.
It looks like something out of the Ghostbusters.
My phone is bigger than yours.
Yeah, it does. But what is that in layman's terms?
It's actually a laboratory grade airflow meter. And it measures many of the conditions and properties of air. And I can plug this into my laptop and dump all the data from the meter into my laptop.
And so you would use that where?
I would use it in commercial buildings.
Like a big box store, like a shopping mall.
Could be a government building. Okay. Could be a college campus building. I've done a lot of work on there. Hospitals would be another very big one. And it would typically measure the air either in a space or it would measure the air in a duct, which is what we're talking about
today. Okay. That, because I'm thinking, do you go to different little corners of the building, but you just go straight to the source where the air is flowing?
Both.
Gotcha.
Both.
Okay.
Either individual rooms or the larger commercial. My background's mainly commercial.
Yes.
Large commercial buildings.
What does it measure? What are you looking for?
It measures the thing I'm most concerned about for this particular topic of the COVID-19 is airflow. How much airflow is moving through the duct and where that air comes from. And the percentages of ventilation air, outside air, moving through the system and then into the rooms. Most commercial systems recirculate or recycle 80% plus of the air. It just goes around the system.
Yeah, okay. It's interesting that you say that because it has come up in conversations about air quality on an airplane. And
That's correct. Recirculation helps.
Tremendously. Yeah,
recirculation helps, but sometimes they don't want to. There's energy penalties, which become financial penalties, for bringing in outside air conditions like today, hot and humid. That air has to be cooled and dehumidified. And if the more outside air we bring in, the higher the energy bills go, both for the airlines, the airplane, as well as commercial buildings.
So in terms of air quality, what is the impact of COVID-19?
Let me read it. I just got the brand new standards, and here's a statement, and this is not to scare people, but I'd like to just read the statement. This comes down from the WHO as well as the CDC to the air conditioning engineers, the governing agency. Transmission of the virus through the air is sufficiently likely that airborne exposure to the virus should be controlled.
Wow. Okay.
This hit me last week when I was actually having breakfast at a local restaurant here in Rock Hill. And I notice a lot of the airflow. And it's just part of the being in the business. But and I was just thinking to myself, yes, we've got social distancing, which we need to do. This is actually after all the recommendations come after that. But in this event, someone could be not 5 or 6 feet away. They could be 50 or 60 feet away.
Wow.
And that virus at some amount could get into the recycled air, and that virus could then be dropped on me.
That helps us understand the importance of doing both social distancing and our masks.
And that's recommended here with the governing agencies, recommend all of that first, cleaning, social distancing, masks. They assume that this is kind of underneath that. They say, oh, in addition to that, we've got to look at this as well. So
how do you remedy the situation then?
That's a really good question, and they've got the answers right here. First of all, is to increase outdoor air ventilation. Almost all of us feel safer being outdoors with this. Outdoors is 100% ventilation. And they recommend that we should increase the outdoor air ventilation and open what are called the outside air dampers. There are there are slats, louvers, people call them, or dampers with a little motor on them on commercial units. Those can be opened 100% as conditions permit. We can go to maximum ventilation. We can basically make it like outside. I would make it, if it was me, I would make it like a wind tunnel.
Well, Okay.
I bet you have a lot of fans in your house.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the residential is a little bit different, but you're right. We need a lot of air. We need to increase the filtration. The filters need to become more efficient. There are efficiency ratings and filters. We need to get high efficiency filters. Run the units 24/7 if possible. If someone coughs, that cough might fall down. There's a lot of technical things. It might fall on the table, needs to be disinfected. I want that cough, if it's in the air, I want to have so much ventilation that cough is out of here.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't have time to fall.
It doesn't have time to fall.
It just flies over the head.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. Also, adding portable room cleaners as well as portable or installed ultraviolet units in the rooms. I'm thinking here mainly about classrooms. I'm really worried about the kids. I'm worried about the teachers. I'm worried about everybody.
And again, yeah, you spend a lot of hours in school. You want to have confidence of knowing that the air quality is good and safe.
20% of the American population on a standard school day is in schools. 20% of our population. And 90% of the time that we spend is indoors.
True.
So it's great, a lot of great information, Ron. And like you said, you don't want to scare people, but hearing some of the stuff, you can tell why the average person who's not knowledgeable about this might lean in a little more and start freaking out a little bit.
Yes.
It's like we should eat healthy.
That's right.
We don't necessarily eat healthy 100% of the time, but we eat healthy enough.
Right.
So with this, what can you say to calm people down in case they're really worked up about this and they're afraid that, oh my gosh, next time I go in a building, if I sneeze or someone sneezes, I'm going to catch it. And, you know, the conspiracy theorists start, the mind starts racing and the conspiracy theorists in our
And people take advantage of that by offering certain filters or whatnot. Is there a place to go to verify that what someone is telling you is in fact based on the CDC guidelines?
Right. In commercial, specifically in commercial buildings, but in commercial buildings, I would work with a recognized contractor. I would not respond to some kind of a blind ad or something like that that I got in the mail and said, buy this and you'll be fine. and ask them, and really ask them, are you committed to meeting these standards? And I think it would be interesting to note in Rock Hill, and for commercial buildings again, and schools, you know, school people, Rock Hill schools or whoever it might be, whatever that building is, are you committed to meeting these standards that are put out there by these very knowledgeable authorities?
Well, it's a lot to think about as we are learning every day more and more. This is another piece to the puzzle and an attempt to understand this, you know, and how to stay safe, how to protect ourselves.
That's right.
To find out more information about you, do you have a public access? Do you have a website for your books? How is the best way to learn
more? Well, my publisher is American Technical Publishers. They're wonderful people. They put up with my bad writing.
No.
And they have very good editors.
But for you, exactly, if people are listening and have questions, if they're a commercial business and they have a question or anything like that.
Well, I do have social media accounts.
Okay.
Again, it's Ron Auvil. Feel free to contact me there, right? Or even my email at ron.auvil@gmail.com.
Okay. Fantastic.
All right.
Great information.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being with us.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you.